The Lord is faithful. Amen? The Lord is faithful. The Apostle Paul straight up tells us that, straight out in verse 3 of the passage King Keegan just read to us. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. The Lord is faithful. We know that, right? We sang it last week on Celebration Sunday. We're planning to sing it at the end of this worship time. Great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. The Lord is faithful. We sang it this morning in Jesus strong and kind. For the Lord is good and faithful. He will keep us day and night. We can always run to Jesus, Jesus strong and kind. The Lord is faithful. We know this, but we regularly need reminded of this, don't we? The Lord is faithful, but we are forgetful. So we need reminded, and we need reminded again, and we need reminded not just that he is faithful, but how to live because of the Lord's faithfulness. And I think that's what this little paragraph really excels at doing for God's people. So let's study it together. Last time we were in 2 Thessalonians, we studied chapter 2, verses 1 through 15, where Paul instructed this beloved baby church to stand firm. They were in danger of being shaken by deception and false messages about the return of Jesus Christ. And Paul told them instead to hold tight to the truth of the scriptures that he had taught them, and when they hold tight, they'd stand firm. Now, between that passage and our passage for today, Paul wrote out this prayer for the Thessalonians that we studied before, from which we get our series title, and that we're memorizing together these last few months, 2 Thessalonians 2:16 and 17. We read it earlier in the service with the blanks. Let's say it once again, because this is the next passage in Paul's letter. May our Lord Jesus, with me, you with me? Okay, sorry, I ran ahead of you. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. I've been trying to pray those words over all of you every single day for at least the rest of 2025. And I'm planning to pray this for every family in our church directory by name this Tuesday on my prayer retreat. That our Lord Jesus Christ himself, not his representative, but him, and God our Father, his Father and ours, through the power of God the Holy Spirit, our triune God, who loved us so much that God the Son was sent to die for our sins and to come back to life to give us eternal life by his grace, not by our works, but by his grace. We have eternal life, which is eternal encouragement, right? We're going to be encouraged forever because of that. And all the hope we need for all eternity. This prayer that God, who's already given us eternal encouragement, will give us encouragement today. And strengthen us today for whatever we have to do today in every good deed and word. That must have been so encouraging for the Thessalonians to read in this letter. The Apostle Paul was praying for them. He was praying this for them. Why? Because the Lord is faithful. And because the Lord is faithful, the Apostle Paul is now going to ask them to pray for him. Look now at verse 1. Finally, brothers, pray for us, that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you. I have three simple points of application for us this morning, and they're all things that we already know to do, but can easily forget to do. Here's number one. The Lord is faithful, so pray. Paul is praying for them. He's peppered both of these letters to the Thessalonians with short little bursts of prayer, like chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, and chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. And he's going to do it again in verse 5 of this chapter. But this is also a two-way street. The church is not the only people who need prayer. The missionaries need prayer too. And Adam says, amen, right? For the last 5 years, Adam's picture's been back there on the wall back there, and he sent us regular prayer requests from Tokyo. Missionaries need prayer. Adam's picture may be coming down soon, but there's still a dozen other pictures hanging there with people begging for our prayers. Paul asks for this church to pray that the gospel would race around the world. Did you see that in verse 1? Brothers and sisters, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you. He pictures the gospel message as being like a runner racing around the track, maybe racing in different directions all over the globe because of Paul and his friends. And then the gospel comes home. It finds a glorious reception, like the runner runs across the finish line and everybody is cheering. Yes, the gospel's here. Yes, the gospel is true. Yes, this gospel changes everything. Paul says that's how it was with the Thessalonians. In his first letter, he said that the gospel had rung out all over the region, 1 Thessalonians 1:8, and that they had accepted it not merely as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. The gospel had taken root in them and was changing them. And Paul says, pray that that would happen everywhere. Everywhere we go. Are we praying for the rapid expanse of the gospel around the globe? There are many encouraging signs about that. 20 Bibles taken from the free fridge in the last 10 months. There's also many discouraging signs as well. As Paul said in chapter 2, the secret power of lawlessness is already at work. But the gospel has power to change things. And the Lord is faithful. He uses that gospel and our prayers to do amazing things in the world. The Thessalonians were exhibit A for that. He says, just as it was with you. Paul asks for prayer that he and his team would also be protected from their enemies. Look at verse 2. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not everyone has faith. The gospel has enemies. Not everybody loves Jesus. Everybody may love Raymond, but not everybody loves Jesus. Everywhere Paul goes, he gets into trouble for sharing the truth of the gospel, and so he asks the church to pray that he is protected. This is a man who was stoned and left for dead once. He's in and out of prison. He's shipwrecked. They understand this in Thessalonica because they were experiencing persecution there too. They're getting hounded and pounded by their neighbors, and Paul is encouraging them with God's justice to come. But they kept loving their neighbors. And they kept trusting the Lord more and more. And now they're called to keep praying for protection for Paul and his team. What are your prayer practices when it comes to missionaries and church leaders? Do you pray for missionaries? For the last 2 years, Jenny has faithfully printed out the prayer letters that we get from our missionaries and put them on this board out in the foyer. There's one up there that says, trust me, this is a picture I took, so it's fuzzy. But there's one up there that says Bailey. So every time Adam sends us a letter, she prints it out. It gets put out there. You can read whatever Adam has been saying that he needs prayer for. Right? You can go back out there after church today, pick a missionary, read their letter. If you want a copy of it, Jenny will give you a copy of it. And you can pray verses 1 and 2 for them. You ever wonder what to pray for a missionary? Pray 2 Thessalonians 3:1-2. Pray the gospel would race and be received. Take root and change the world, and pray for protection for the missionaries. Whenever you see those pictures on the back wall, do you pray that the message of the Lord would spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you? Did you get a fridge magnet for the missionaries that we support and pray that they would be delivered from wicked and evil men? For not everyone has faith. Every time you open up that fridge in the middle of the night, see if there's anything in there. You know, sometimes you open it up, it's like, oh, nothing there. Close it, there's a picture of a missionary. Pray. Verse 3, but the Lord is faithful. We can pray and ask Him to do amazing things in our missionaries' lives. And we can trust Him to do amazing things in our lives. That's point number 2 this morning. The Lord is faithful, so trust. Look closely at verse 3. Not everyone has faith, but the Lord is faithful. And He will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. That's a promise. And when you find a promise from God to you in the Scriptures, the right thing to do is to trust it. The Lord is faithful, and He will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. Paul reminds them that God is faithful. He always keeps His promises. God has demonstrated that over and over again on every page of Holy Scripture. He has shown His faithfulness every single day of redemptive history. He's kept or is keeping every single thing He's ever promised. The Lord is faithful. And He's going to be faithful to strengthen and to protect His children from evil. Now that does not mean that they won't encounter evil. They were encountering it every day. And it doesn't mean that we don't have to pray for protection. Paul just asked them to pray that for him, right? God's promises are things we're supposed to pray back to Him. Not, oh, I have a promise, I don't have to pray about it. I have a promise, I should pray about it. And I think this is just building off the last petition of the prayer the Lord Jesus taught His disciples. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Same exact phrase in the original Greek, from the evil one. But it does mean that we pray it in faith. And as we pray it in faith, we can expect the Lord to do just that. He will strengthen and protect you and me from the evil one, from his temptations, so you don't have to give in to them, from his accusations, so you don't have to believe what he says about you, from his attacks of all kinds. The Bible does say that we have an enemy who prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. But it doesn't say to be scared of him. What does Peter say right after that? He says that. He says, resist him, standing firm in the faith. Stand firm. Trust in the Lord and stand firm because the Lord is faithful. I love how it says the Lord will strengthen us. Paul just prayed for that too, right? In chapter 2, verse 17, didn't he? May the Lord who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope encourage your hearts and what? Strengthen you in every good deed and word. He prays for it. And then what does Paul say in verse 3 of chapter 3? He will. He will strengthen you. The Lord is faithful. Must have been so encouraging for the Thessalonians to read this in this letter. Do you need to hear it this morning? I know that I do. The Lord is faithful, and He will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. Trey and Jenny, the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. Morgan and Laura, the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. Joe and Molly, the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. Lance Free Church, the Lord is faithful, and He will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. Trust Him. Who could you encourage with that promise today? You know I'm going to do it. Tell the person next to you this up on the screen. Go ahead, do it right now. Write it on one of those encouragement cards, right? Jenny created these. They're back there in the foyer. Put 2 Thessalonians 3:3 on an encouragement card and send it to a fellow Christian. Drop these words in a text message, in a DM to somebody today, right? Copy and paste this right out of your Bible and shoot it to a Christian. Now, this is a promise for Christians. If they're not yet a real Christian, then it's not yet for them. They won't be strengthened necessarily. They won't be protected from the evil one. But this is true for the Thessalonians because they'd received the gospel message and were changed forever. They had eternal encouragement and good hope so that they knew that the Lord is faithful and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. Trust him. Jesus said, if I am weak, I should come to him. No one else can be my strength. I should come to him. For the Lord is good and faithful. He will keep us day and night. We can always run to Jesus. Jesus strong and kind. Paul knew that better than just about anybody. And he believed that God was at work, not just for the Thessalonians like this, but in the Thessalonians. Look what he says in verse 4. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. Now that's going to become kind of a theme for the rest of the letter. Paul has some commands for the Thessalonians to follow, some apostolic commands, and we'll get more into them next week, Lord willing. But the main thing to see here is that Paul fully expects them to keep these commands. He thinks they're going to do it, and they will continue to do it, that they are doing it, and they'll continue to do them, because the Lord is at work in them. And friends, the Lord's work will work. Notice that Paul does not say, we have confidence in you, though it amounts to it, right? He says, we have confidence in the Lord that you. Paul knows that the Lord is faithful, so he knows that these Christians will be faithful too. Which is point number 3 and last. The Lord is faithful, so obey. Paul fully believes that these Christians will obey, and so they should. In another letter to the churches at nearby Philippi, Paul wrote that he was confident that he who began a good work in them will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Same basic idea. How encouraging it must have been for the Thessalonians to read this and to hear just how confident the Apostle Paul was that they were going to obey Jesus and follow his commands. I'm sure it was motivation for them to do just that. We don't have to obey on our own. We obey because the Lord is at work in us, and his work will work. The Lord is faithful, so obey. Where is that hard for you right now? What commands from our Lord are you perhaps struggling to obey today? Because it's not always easy to obey, is it? Colossians 3:13. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Obey. Ephesians 5:3-4. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed. Because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. Obey. Luke 6:35. But love your enemies. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Obey. Philippians 4, 4, 5, and 6. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Obey. Not out of your own strength, but in the strength that God supplies. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command, which also includes working hard and not being a busybody, as we'll see next week. Are you struggling to obey the Lord's commands? Paul knows that it won't always be easy, and that's, I think, why he up and prays for them again in verse 5. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. What a beautiful thought. What a beautiful prayer. That the Lord would guide, lead, direct their very hearts into God's love, their hearts into Christ's perseverance. Some of your versions have Christ's steadfastness there, like Jenny has on the front of your bulletin. What a beautiful prayer. Lord, direct our hearts there. Lord, do that in us as Lamb's Free Church. Direct our hearts into your love and the steadfastness of Jesus Christ. But what exactly does that mean? It could be translated like this: may the Lord direct your hearts to love for God and perseverance for Christ. So that would emphasize God working in our hearts so that we obey, so that we love God and hang on for Jesus while we wait for His return. And that's quite possible. It fits with the rest of the theology of the letters. And I'm sure that this truth has that effect either way. But I tend to think that Paul is praying that God would give this church a vision in their hearts of just how much God has loved them and is loving them and will love them. And how just how much Jesus endured for them. That's another word for that steadfastness or perseverance. It's endurance. How He persevered for them. How He was steadfast for them, so that He endured the cross, scorning its shame for them. Lord, direct their hearts to see that. Strengthen their hearts once again with that eternal encouragement and good hope with your love and by your grace. So that if our hearts are full of that, then of course we will obey. Have you prayed something like that to the Lord recently? Lord, show me how much you love me. Direct my heart to see your love and to see Christ's endurance for me. Show us, Lord, how faithful you are. Again, we know it, but we lose sight of it. The Lord is faithful, but we are forgetful. So we ask the Lord to remind us again and again and again, so that we pray for missionaries and for each other, that the gospel would race around the world and change lives like it did ours, so that missionaries and churches are delivered from wicked and evil men, so that we trust in the promises of God to strengthen and protect us from the evil one, and so that we obey, because God is at work in us, and His work will work, because the Lord is faithful. Amen? Amen.